Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
5 hot weekends, and not just the heat. We're going after a move of God for the next 5 weeks, not like we always do, but I'm telling you, this is intentionally about moving in the Holy Spirit, going after signs and wonders, healings. So today, I would do you a disservice as your pastor if I didn't do a little teaching around the power of the Holy Spirit, because I think it's to the point where I need to get you ready. And if you're not ready, you will be by the end of service, because I want there to be a hunger, an expectation, something supernatural that you want to see. Deep down, we all like want to see God move. We want to see the supernatural. I'm waiting to see someone raised from the dead. Oh yeah, it happens. It happens. Don't let that mess up your theology. But my whole thing today is called Training Wheel Christianity. Thank you. Look at that, on cue. Training Wheel Christianity, because here's why. I taught my little girl and my little boy on the same weekend. I have a 5- and a 3-year-old. And what was amazing, I figured if my little 3-year-old could get out there, never ridden a bike, just throw them out there, no training wheels, my 5-year-old's gonna be a little ticked, because she's been riding for a couple years with training wheels. Why am I talking about Training Wheel Christianity? Because see, no one ever told me I could ride a bike, my Christian faith, without training wheels. So I went 30 years riding a bike with training wheels that I was never designed to. And then I found C3. And then there is this little kind of cheeky thing called C3 Saved. It's a real thing. Some of you know it. You guys will find out why in a minute. I just say that because I was saved my whole life, meaning I knew Jesus. I thought I was walking with Jesus, ups and downs. I thought every teenager, I thought it was a rule you had to backslide. You don't. Especially you just going to youth camp. Come on. Speaking of youth camp, talk about this. To see youth come back filled with the Holy Ghost, operating in power, and then their parents show up at church, that's who we want to send off to youth camp. So if you're going to sponsor anything, sponsor a youth, because we need a few more sponsorships. Because they're not coming, they're not going out to the river to jump off rocks and do it. No, no, no. They're going to have fun, rule number 10. But they're coming back with power, and they want to win a city, they want to win a school, they want to win some of their friends. Not just giving them a good word, but operating in gifts and signs and wonders. You know, and that's what I want to preach about, because what happened was, guess what? I pushed my little Mavi after I showed him everything, and he just rode around. Micah used to training wheels, trusted training wheels. She actually took a couple spills. She was a little wobbly. And I was thinking to myself, wow, how much more did my wife come in here, get saved, not knowing anything, get filled with the Holy Ghost and had no reservation. Here I am, 30 years as a Christian, had all this Christianese stuff, had all this theology. I get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm trying to challenge it. Now I'm challenging, what does tongues really mean? I had all this doctrine because I trusted some training wheels. And so what I want to do as a church as we go into 5 hot weekends is, hey, let's just do a little teaching around it. Let's talk about it. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to operate with power, with exousia power, with dunamis power as a church? I want us to be in the Word, and I'm not going to take away from that, but I want us also to know that there's another side to the Word, because this Word becomes alive, and the more alive it becomes, the more empowered you and I become in this house. God's going to use us. He's going to use each and one of us. And so as we get into this today, I just want us to be hearts open, ready to hear what God says about His Word. But listen to this, like faith, I should release the band. Thank goodness for signs, right? They sound so good up here. I just felt like, boom, thank you. You're amazing. Let's give it up for the worship team. I had this other amazing word, but not amazing as this word. This one happened because of Pastor Benny Perez last week. I just want to let you know, this teaching came because of that. Come on. That was amazing.
That was really good.
Yeah, it was good. You guys were so on it today. Thank you. It's pretty good. Looking good, feeling good. They ought to be in Hollywood. Come on. You hear me? Yep. But here's what happened. Benny Perez came up here last week. And at the 9, he preached an incredible word. How many of you are here for the 9? Came back to the 11? Oh, yeah, you did. You know what happened. After the 11, something happened. The anointing, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He looked at me and he said, hey, can I have a few more minutes? I feel like God's giving me a word. I'm going to explain that in a minute. And then what happens is he then went on and started getting numbers, times, started calling people out. Like, listen, if you got a 11:11 in your brain, or did you wake up at 3:38 in the morning? Not 3:37, 3:38, who are you? God's telling me that you're here. They'd stand up. He'd have a word for him. He did this 5 or 6 times. See, what many of you don't know, that this is what the importance of operating in power looks like. He stopped. He gave an incredible sermon, but then he started operating in a different level. He started operating at a level, and why is that important? Oh, we don't need that. You just need the name of Jesus. You do. But he went to the next level because he already had the name of Jesus. He started reading people's mails, and then he said, someone at, 111, boom. Young lady in the back right up there stood up. He prophesied, says, God sees you, God loves you, boom, boom, boom. She starts crying. No one needs to know why. Exit the service. She comes down, grabs me, and goes, can you tell Pastor Benny Perez thank you? Last night at 111, I was going to kill myself. And I got a text from someone in this church saying, I don't know what you're going through, but you need to come to church. She left that place that she was going to end her life. She already left the letter, left all the stuff, lined it all up, took care of everything, all her responsibilities, so she wouldn't burden anybody else, and she was about to take her life. He got that word from the Holy Spirit, pulled it out, prophesied over. She came down totally transformed. She goes, this might be a little heavy. I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. She goes, yeah, I was going to kill myself. I'm like, okay. Okay. Hold on a second. Now let me get my head in the right place. And then she goes, go tell him thank you. I want him to know, because of that word, I don't need pastoral care. I don't need you to line me up with your team. I know that God heard me. I'm not going to take my life. I'm fine. I said, come back to the 5. I told Pastor Benny in the green room, and he goes, and to think just a few weeks ago, I was preaching in a church and they shut me down on that. Thank you for allowing me to operate and go after it. Because he took, 15, 20 minutes over service, because we can't put God in a box. We don't know when the Holy Spirit's. And so guess what? We made the room where 2 weeks ago he was preaching in another church and they shut him down, saying that's just not. And he respected the pulpit. But guess what? He told me, I felt it in my spirit. Why? Don't try to rein me in. Boom, saved a woman's life because of that gifting. Went in the green room. He was rocked. He called his wife, who was at a women's conference in Texas, and said, you won't believe what just happened. I knew it. I was operating the gifts. I started. So he was even astonished by the own things that, because we just take it for granted, oh, Pastor Benny's up here. No, even he was like, babe, I started getting numbers. It was so incredible. The Holy Spirit started giving me words from people. I was just dropping all these. And he was, and his wife goes, that's it. I got one more session. I'm going to do, that's it. I'm not going to just go off my message. I'm going off track. And she did. But we had a whole lunch conversation about how we can get so caught up into our sermonette, we forget to let the Holy Spirit operate in our house. Yet she came back to the 5 and goes, I thought I may have overwhelmed you, so I didn't tell you everything, but make sure Pastor Benny knows that my 2-year-old says thank you. Okay, give me a camera. We're taking selfies. Click. I sent it to Pastor Benny. By the way, she just added on another layer. Her 2-year-old Titus says thank you. That's why I've been around this church 12 years. I'm not going anywhere. I grew up 30 years in a church that never taught on the Holy Spirit, so I refuse when I get the chance to not at least give us a teaching around it so we can get ready for 5 hot weekends so we can see some supernatural up in here and witness and encounter signs and wonder. We're going to see a sign, and then we're all going to wonder. So here's a point. I had Jesus. I had faith. I was missing Holy Spirit power. So with the name of Jesus, listen, we have power of authority. I just want us to understand this. The use of another person's name to declare legal rights is called the power of attorney. So we all have the power of attorney when it comes to the name of Jesus. It's a great thing. The minute we're saved, we have the power of Jesus and living inside of us. But I want to differentiate between the two so you understand what I'm talking about and why it's so much more than just claiming the name of Jesus. Name it and claim it. Rain it down. Come on, pull it down. I was in grad school. I grew up a Christian. I was in grad school. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about how I wanted to get back involved with church because I was so off the rails. You know, I went to a Christian college where I felt like I was protected. You know, I didn't really know. Then I go up to this school in San Francisco that was total grad school. And whoa, hello, a lot of stuff going on. The gay and lesbian club was bigger than the Christian club. I walked by in the gay and lesbian club, like 50 people in the room. I go over to the Christian room going, oh, I'm going to go get me a Christian Bible study. Three people in there. I'm like, I ain't hanging out with any of you three. Hey, I'm not saying, listen, it was a way long time ago. I had problems, okay? But I just go, that does not look like a fun club. I'd rather go join the chess club. Looked more promising. I tell you that because I realized, man, I'm in the middle of this secular school that is kind of crazy and off the rails. I think I'm going to go back to church. So I'm going back to church. I'm thinking I'm going to serve in church. So that Sunday, I'll never forget, it was a Thursday night. That Sunday, I'd already made a commitment in my spirit. I'm going to go get involved. That's it. I'm going to get this school turned upside down. So that night, and I just finished reading, because when you're in grad school and you're reading all these crazy books, you need a little easy reading. So my easy reading was Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. So I read it, and I was like, didn't think anything of it. Old lady's praying, angels get stronger. When old lady's not praying, angels get weaker. Demons get stronger. So I was like, it was like, this is a weird book. Angels are fighting. So it was going between the spiritual realm and the worldly realm. And so it was interesting because I was like, what is going on with this book? But I did remember out of that book, every time they claimed the name of Jesus, stuff would happen. That night, no joke, was my first experience with demonic activity. I straight up got choked out by a demon. You're like, nah, that was a dream. No, it straight up wasn't. Okay? So whoever just thought that thought, I know. At least three of you. And I was laying there thinking I was in a dream, and as I felt fear come over me, I felt a spirit of fear. I was getting choked out. I saw these beady little eyes, and I panicked. I went through all my Bible Sunday school messages from growing up, half Baptist, evangelical, free, and covenant. Anything non-denominational, that was me. And I was just thinking, where? What do I do? What do I do? And I remember Frank Peretti's book. I should have remembered the Bible. I just remember the old ladies were claiming the name of Jesus, and I went, and I couldn't get anything out. This is how it sounded. Jesus. That's better than it sounded. But in that moment, claiming with the power of attorney that one name, I saw fear in those eyes and I felt the grip loosen to the point where I screamed Jesus as loud as possible, forgetting I was on the top story of a bunk bed, sat up and nailed my head, put a hole in the ceiling, and jumped out of bed in my underwear standing like this. And both my roommates, hallway lights are on, one of them, both unsaved, don't judge them. One of them, the girl ran out. The other one was a Catholic guy with some beads and his rosary. And he's like, what's going on? They said I looked as white as a ghost. This is the power of transformation from one experience. I called my mom at 3 a.m. Yeah, as you do. Mama's boy, good point. And number two, my buddy that was Catholic, man, he went to Catholic church for the first time in who knows how many years. Now he's like Knights of the Columbus Roundtable. I don't know what they got going on, but he's as high in the Catholic thing going on as you can be because of one bedroom experience where he heard me scream Jesus as loud as possible and then saw me look scared to death. My other buddy radically got saved, came to church on Sunday, repented, swung way over here, still married kids, I mean, still serving the Lord, all from one experience. I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, you have a hug. Just tell her what happened. She goes like this. Well, didn't you just say the name of Jesus? I'm like, oh, my gosh. Mom, where did they ever talk about this in Bible school? What do you mean? Don't you hear all about? I'm like, Mom, I heard Jonah and the whale. I didn't have a stone. I couldn't, like, kill Goliath, you know. Where are they teaching me I need to operate in some power? She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you knew. I'm like, well, you better call our brother and tell him, okay? If he's getting choked out tomorrow night, I want him to know what to do. So, I want to tell you there's power in the name of Jesus. We got that covered? Now we're going to go to the next level, because the next level is, that's all I knew. The sad part was I was 22. Do you know how to go in 8 more years without experiencing the Holy Spirit, not knowing anything? I come to C3. I go to my first prayer meeting. I was like, what is going on up in here? Tongues are of the devil. I'm out of here. But then I saw someone get healed. Then I saw an encounter with power. Then I heard someone prophesy, and I'm like, what is going on? Thank goodness for Pastor Juergen. Sat me down doing a real teaching. And it wasn't just 3 weeks later that my friends laid up in the hospital. And he goes, I know there's something different about you because you're going to a different church, because I went to church with him. And that's Pastor John over Central now. They called me. I didn't know what to do, so I called my buddy, Pastor Mark, who wrote this book, My Friend the Holy Spirit. He walked in that room. Power came on him. He prophesied, quoted some scripture, and I felt the power of God come in the room, which I've never experienced in my entire life. And my friend got radically healed and now quit his secular job and his Central Campus pastors because someone with power walked in a hospital room. If you came to Empower, there were some people that came up here that, listen, they needed something that they weren't getting at the hospital. We're talking stage 4 cancers that they need a supernatural healing from on high. And they need the power of the Holy Spirit to come on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Here's the difference. A lot of people were sending around the prayer emails. 2 people showed up. He got a healing. Wouldn't have been me at the time, I promise you that. But let me tell you, I now had a different thing where I had to understand. I'm letting some theology go right now because my friend just got healed from a dude I don't know that operates in an authority I've never seen. I want that authority because it says in this word that I can have it. Yeah. So I had to level up my game and press in. The first thing, I started asking him all these questions. He didn't have the book at the time. Pastor Mark's taking me through and he goes, what's up with Americans? What's up with American churches? Why aren't they talking about the Holy Ghost? It should be in Australia. We just know. You get Jesus, next step, Holy Ghost. Let's operate in some power. Yeah. Thinking to myself, I don't know, bro. Where's the book? He ends up writing one. This is my probably most handed out book. Don't be touching this thing. This is my copy right here. I've lost too many copies. There's a lot of books on it, but this one gives a great teaching all the way through on it. I'm going to give you a little touch on it because I want to give you the why behind why we want to get over that hurdle, because if we're going to win a city, see, multiple churches have gone after the 78 building. God gave it to one. And I believe it's because God wants to operate at a new level of Holy Spirit power in a healthy way to empower and equip the saints. That's you and me. So in that, oh yeah, I will tell you this. 2 books I like to always say. It's called The Leading Brain, Powerful Science-Based Strategies for Achieving Peak Performance. What I want to tell you, it does brain graphing. It looks at meditation versus prayer. And here's what it says about prayer versus meditation. In contrast to meditation, during prayer, the participants showed increase in alpha power, known to be active during relaxed states and positive emotional states. Gamma power and the ratio of gamma, theta power, which were both known to be active during euphoria and in learning and memory, suggesting the brain was changing its pathway during prayer, not meditation. Goes through all the brain mapping, talking about how you can sit there and try to work smarter, work better, all these things, but it's prayer that changes your brain. Hello. That's research, people. The other book, Willpower Doesn't Work. I was that guy. I'm going to will myself to overcome. I'm going to will myself to get healthy. I'm going to tell myself. I'm into all that stuff. I go, this guy's got to be a Christian. Benjamin Hardy, a little shout out there. At the end of it, he finally confesses, giving props to Jesus and God. I'm thinking to myself, this book is brilliant because so many people I know are just going to, and I'm a goal setter. But willpower won't give you there. Holy Spirit power will. So the necessity for the baptism of the Spirit for the 5 clappers. Thank you. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I'm just walking you through what I learned. Listen, if you're already Spirit-filled, you're operating, hey, I'm just going to give you some tools to go get dudes like me. If Pastor Juergen didn't take the time to explain it, I would have been offended because of my theology. And I know there's so many people that come in here and the biggest hurdle they have to get over is the whole speaking in tongues. Yeah. Is the whole, all this power operation stuff I don't get. Well, guess what? This is a word that's alive and powerful. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it reads different. That's a true statement. You know why? For 30 years, I read this Bible, and for 30 years, I fell asleep a lot. That's weird. I get filled with the Holy Spirit, a new hunger comes alive, and words start jumping off the page. I never understood what it talks about, that there's a word that's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. How is that possible? Because when a spirit, infallible word, hits your spirit, and it's interpreted by the Holy Spirit, it changes what's going on in this word. How many want to be a church that not only has the word, but has the spirit to operate this word the next level? Come on, am I the only one? Come on. So here's three things that I understand when the Holy Spirit, why Jesus sent. There's three things. Number one, with us, to nudge us at salvation. See, a lot of people come in here and they're like, I don't even know why I raised my hand. It was like, guess what? The Holy Spirit nudged you. There was stirring. You're made by God for God. Maybe you just didn't know. But the nudging of the Holy Spirit, you raised your hand. Someone led me, sent hundreds of other peoples, led us through the sinner's prayer. We got our salvation in and through Christ. It's number one. The number two is, well, the Holy Spirit is inside of us so we can experience salvation and live with God and read this word, equipping us. So with us, inside of us, and the last one, like if anyone was here for Bishop Pitts, when I went up to grab the mic from him. Anybody remember that? So during Empower, I thought he was giving me the nod, come get the mic. I just, all right, I'll get the mic. I step up on stage and I look at him, it's like fire in his eyes. I'm like, fire, 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 fire. And as my brain said, I don't think he's gonna give me the mic. Yes. I felt a surge of power hit me, which threw me back. This is a true story. I have a lot of witnesses, people. You're all looking at me like eyes open. I wasn't in my mind going, I'm just gonna wait for a catcher. That would have been a really good thing at that point. I just felt power hit me. So the Holy Spirit comes on us. What does that mean? So I never knew what that means. Holy Spirit is with us. He's inside of us. And he's also can come on us to operate in power. So when I walked in the hospital room with Pastor Mark, when Pastor John needed that healing, I felt the Holy Spirit come on us in that room. I started crying. I felt the presence of God. The first time I've ever experienced it. Second thing is Rex Crane. He was operating a few weeks ago, talking about go after your miracle. Well, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he started seeing things differently. When Benny Perez had the Holy Spirit come upon him, he started getting numbers, started seeing people differently. God started getting words for it. That's when the Holy Spirit comes on us, operating at different times at different levels. In the green room, Rex Crane couldn't even talk to people. He grabbed me. We went in the bathroom. He's like, I can't talk to anybody because he's at this next level. And he said, the Holy Spirit's so thick right now, just let's just decompress. He was allowing the time, creating space for God to do what he's going to do. Because he said, you know, people have, you've heard of that thing, drunk in the Spirit. Yeah. It's when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So there's just different understandings of when the Holy Spirit's going to operate. It's amazing because every Tuesday, I will start operating at a different level of prophetic words or words of knowledge in men's prayer. Yeah. I'm like, can I just have this all the time? I like to be at the mall. Just be walking through, but no, it's when I create this environment because I pray all the way. I'm pray up in the morning. I pray on the way. I get here, and I feel the Holy Spirit come upon us. Different things happen. Why do I do men's prayer? Listen, it's honestly, it's the working out of what I'm talking about. Creating space so men at 5:30 on Tuesdays can operate and learn their gifting. It's like a muscle. If it's something new and you never use it, how are you going to operate that faith muscle? Let the Holy Spirit start to show you. What I love about Pastor Jurgen is he's been doing it so long, the Holy Spirit will give him a word, but then he'll read the Bible in a year again the next and get a different word. It's because the Holy Spirit's been working at him a new level of maturity and authority. See, the longer we work it out, the more authority we get because we're starting to discern the different giftings. Hopefully that helps somebody, but it's helping me. Come on. Charles Finney says this, the Great Commission has been given to the whole church and that every member of the church is under obligation to make his life work to convert the world. So what do we need to do? He asked two questions. What do we need to do to secure success in doing this great work? And then how do we get it? He says the answer is we need the endowment of power from on high, the Holy Spirit. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power and boldness to witness through signs and wonders. See, I knew Mark, but when I watched him walk in that hospital room, I saw a new level of boldness and authority. It was interesting. Listen, because my first witness was watching Pastor John get healed. My second witness was November 8, 2007, seeing a brain-dead kid come back to life. I was there. It was at Rady's, room 343, and I'll never forget it. See, the first time you witness a miracle, you never forget it. Now, could I explain it? No. But when Pastor Mark and now other pastors walked in a room and cleared nurses and doctors out, even to the neurosurgeon, who was a Christian, checked himself and said, get out of the room if you can't believe this to be healed. The guy's a neurosurgeon. He had all his beliefs, all what he saw, okay? He left the room. This kid came back from life. It rattled me to my core. Pre-MRI, post-MRI of brain activity. Heartbeat coming on. I watched the mom and dad get shattered, fall to their knees, crying. They got their little boy back. Changed me forever because of the power of the Holy Spirit coming on somebody with power and authority. You don't tell a neurosurgeon to leave the room at his hospital. But let me tell you, that neurosurgeon went on to write a book called Gray Matter. Changed his life forever. Took a year off doing neurosurgery. Went to find himself, went to go see the miraculous, went to see the power of God, to walk in, because he'd been a Christian his whole life, but now he saw power for the first time. See, it changes you. So now he will never do a brain surgery without having an intercessory prayer team. All his nurses are saved and pray around the clock. See, his stats now, and I don't know if they've changed, but back when he was telling me before, in neurosurgery, you're trying to help dead people with their brains, whatever. It's like 30% success rate. He has an 80% success rate. He won't operate with the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 9, 1 through 2, it says, when Jesus had calling the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure disease. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In Matthew 10, 1, he says similar thing. See, the word power in Greek is exousia. It means privilege, authority, force, increasing capacity, freedom, mastery, superhuman, delegated influence, liberty, and power. What? We have exousia power? So it means that what is controlling the world no longer controls us because we have been given exousia. See, my uncle was a pastor of the Walnut Creek Presbyterian Church for 25 years. I came, started going to C3. I was home for Thanksgiving. I just got back from a power conference where they did a real teaching on the Holy Spirit and why we're called to be part of this army. So my uncle goes, let me see that book. Okay? No joke, a week later, his wife goes, you know what? You used to operate at a different level. And I don't know what's happened, but you used to talk to God a lot because he was a runner, marathon runner. And he goes, but ever since you've had knee pain, you quit running. And I think you quit listening to what God has for us. She gets down, prays for his knee. Presbyterians. Gets healed. He starts running. Hears from God. Says, what have I been teaching on the Holy Spirit? Goes in. Does two things. Number one, puts his wife in a pulpit because he felt like she had a word. More salvations on one Sunday than the entire year. Their board didn't like it, but let me tell you what. My uncle realized, is it fear of man or fear of the Lord? Starts operating in the gifting, starts teaching on the Holy Spirit. Never done that. Always talked about the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. Started teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, revival broke up in that Presbyterian church. Then they asked my uncle to leave. But in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, the disciples hung out with Jesus, and when they were with Jesus, they were bold. Come on, how have you ever been with someone with a gun show? I'm feeling a little bit more bold. If I was hanging out with Zach, I'd probably be piping off to some people. I had a lot of big friends in high school that I would feel bold around. But then they started went out and operating with the name of Jesus, and they'd come back and tell Jesus. And Jesus would be like, calm down. He'd be, calm down. I'm going away, but then I'm going to send a helper. Let me tell you that all that boldness, all that thing happened, that died away real quick when Jesus was crucified. Those disciples, they weren't hanging out with their homie in the name of Jesus anymore, but they saw miracles for 3 years. They saw all this crazy thing. But guess what? They got fear and shut themselves down. It wasn't until they received power that they went out, they got over themselves, and they turned the world upside down. What do I mean? Well, good, I'm glad you asked. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit converts cowards into heroes. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same Peter who denied Christ three times was no longer afraid. Before the very council that had condemned Jesus to death, rulers of people and the elders of Israel that he used to bow down to, he went and told Jesus and the story of Jesus and the power of Jesus to those same people. See, 500 were told to wait. 120 made it a priority. I want you guys to understand, how important is the Holy Spirit? It's this important. This is what Paul says in Acts 19, 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So when they got saved, did they experience the Holy Spirit? They said to him, we have not so much as heard as whether there is a Holy Spirit. And then he said to them, into what you were baptized? So he said to them, into John's baptism. That's water baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptisms of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with different tongues and prophesied. See, when Paul found out that they hadn't received the Holy Spirit, you know what the first thing he did? He challenged them, and then he said, let's get you received. He prayed for them, laid hands on them, they received. And then one of the signs was them, they all prophesied and were speaking in tongues. The Amplified says this in Acts 1:8, but you will receive virtue, power, and miracle ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to enable you to give absolute evidence and miraculous proof of my resurrection, to tell my people about me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. See, it wasn't words, it wasn't intellect, it wasn't anything. It was showing with power and authority. See, I love this. There's 22 miracles. There's 37 in the New Testament, 22 in Matthew. Mark had 20, Luke had 21, and eight were in John. But here's what I want you to understand. I was always taught a fruit of the Spirit, and we always want to teach that. And if you don't know, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that whole thing, the fruit of the Spirit. It's all I ever heard in church. I never was told about the gifts. There's 9 gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of prophecy, gift of healings, work of miracles, discerning of spirits, gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. My thing is, are we going after those as hungry as we're going after the fruits of the Spirit? What's amazing is I didn't even know about them. But once you know about them, we then have a choice. Do we just excuse them? Or do we say, no, I need to hone them? I can tell you, words of knowledge and prophetic gifts, it become easy for me to hone on them. We all will operate. But it's not like God gives you one of the gifts and then you don't have the other one. So you walk by someone that's dying, you're like, oh, I don't have the gift of healing. Anybody? Anybody gift of healing? Front row? Gift of healing? You coming up right now to heal me? Come on. Coming up to get me off this platform. I see what you're doing. Preach faster. Okay. But what I'm saying is, we all have the gifts. Which ones are we going to? See, and I'm still working this out because I know that I had an opportunity to pray for someone that passed away because the wife called me. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll call the hospital because the body's down at the bottom of the hospital. I felt the Holy Spirit says, you go there, I'll raise him from the dead. Oh, man. I called Pastor John. Pastor John's, I'm out of town. I'm like, okay, that was my homie. I only have one homie that will believe. I called 2 or 3 other people that just didn't have the faith for it. So I started to get nervous. I started to get scared. I started to talk myself out of it. I'm like, all right, I'll call the morgue. There's no way they're gonna let me. I call the morgue. You know what the guy says to me on the phone? Rings down the bottom of the hospital. He says, I'm a Christian, I believe. I've been waiting my whole life for someone to come. I'll pull the body out. I'll believe with you. Yeah, don't clap for me. I got scared and didn't go. Yeah, I know. I let you down. If I think you let you down, I let me down. But let me tell you, I repented. I felt I was just like, how did I do it? The wife says, it's okay, Dr. Matt. I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was just this young kid that said, hey, let's get in the car. My wife and I used to go demon busting. Pastor Jurgen called our team Ghostbusters. We go in and get people delivered. I mean, it's fun. Don't tell me you don't want to. If you've never seen it, come on Tuesday. People getting laid out, delivered all the time. You want to see the power of the gifts? Show up on a Tuesday. Ladies, not you. You go on Thursday. But we are a church that believes in those gifts that we want to get operating. Do I want a redo? If you don't think I'm on my knees every night going, God, give me a redo. I won't let the devil talk me out of it. I won't get scared. I've told Pastor John, because back then I only had one homie that believed in that. Now I got myself Rex Crane. I got myself a bunch of other believers that if it ever went down again and I got the phone call, let me tell you, we're going. We're going. It's a muscle that we have to build. It's about getting in the Word to get us the Word and prophesy. But I'm telling you, we got to work this stuff out, but we're a church that allows it. We make room for it. We give the space to it. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. The power's for you and me, not pastors only. And I know so many pastors that aren't preaching this Word. It's a lot safer to preach on the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, let's preach on love one more time. I mean, hey, listen, we need it. I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me. We need it. But I'm telling you, we need people to see signs and wonders. As I wrap this up, I want you to just understand two things. See, there was 12 disciples. 11 of them became apostles because one of them hung himself. Judas the betrayer. But see, listen, disciples was referred to as learners or students. They walked with Jesus. They were learners. Apostles refers to messengers of the gospel. Here's what I love. Did you realize they were all elevated to apostles after Pentecost? After they received the Holy Spirit, the disciples went from students of Jesus to apostles. But they had to have the Holy Spirit on them. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able, we all are, by the way, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Here's the key word, according to the power that works in us. See, we all have the same power. It's according to how much we want to press into that power that works in us. How bad do we want it? You know, Michael Pitt said a statement, it kind of rang my bell. He goes, man, we get so fired up over someone taking a knee. If you got more passionate about getting salvations and getting people saved than you did politics, where would you be? It kind of like stung me a little bit. I was like, you're right. Why am I getting so fired up over that when I should be getting fired over watching all my friends not only get saved, but then walk in power? Read the book of Acts. It's the book of action. It's the only book that doesn't have an amen or a period at the end of it because we're still living it out right now. Two verses and then we'll wrap it up because I want to pray for some people. But in the Hebrews 2, in the Amplified Version 1-4, it says this, for this reason, that is, because of God's final revelation of his son, Jesus, and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard so that we do not in any way drift away from the truth. The hard part was I didn't even know the truth because I didn't even hear it in my house. For if this message given through the angels, the law given to Moses, was authentic and all unalterable, and every violation of disobedient act received an appropriate penalty, that's the Old Testament, how will we escape the penalty if we ignore such a great salvation, the gospel, the new covenant? For it was spoken out at first by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who personally heard him speak, receiving miracles. So many people got healed in the New Testament. It was a confirmation of what God was doing. And besides this evidence, God also testifying with them, confirming the message of salvation, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles carried out by Jesus and the apostles and now at the apostles. Don't watch that movie, The Incredibles, right before you preach. And by granting to believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Every one of us, it says, the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God's given us, it's his will that we operate in it. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. See, the God of the Bible is the same God who wants to move today in power. Are we going to be that church? That's our mandate. See, I know the story. I know Pastor Jesse knows the story of that 78 building. There's been other churches that had a chance. It's not just a happenstance that C3 got that building. 75,000 square feet on one of the busiest highways in all of San Diego County. We're not just equipping you. We're not just want to give you a good word. We want to equip you. If we're going to turn the world upside down, how are we going to do it together? Do you know that there's people that go to other churches that come to our prayer meetings in all three campuses because they want and they need a miracle? We're the last chance. They're showing up. They're like, yeah, we want to believe. We just want to bring revival. One, we joke around. His name's Catholic Brad. He goes to the Central 5 a.m. prayer. He just went back. Revival has broken out at his Catholic church because of our men's prayer. He came and got equipped, got filled with the Holy Spirit, took it back, and realized, man, he has a Pentecostal Catholic church. They're loving it. All just to let you know that because so many signs and wonders and miracles are coming out of their church, it's made it all the way back to Rome. They're sending people in elevated places all the way to Del Mar just to visit that Catholic church because of the signs and wonders going on, because they're having prayer meetings, speaking in tongues, believing. And I was like, wow. I want to make sure we don't get passed up. It's the same God trying to get his miracles and his signs and wonders and his power to his church and to his people. As we go into the five hot Sundays, it's so important that we get ready and prepare our hearts to operate in that level. That's why it's so important. I end on this. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all. If we don't have the Holy Spirit and his gifts operating in this house, we're running at a loss. See, many churches, mostly the ones I grew up in, and me, I had a theology of the Holy Spirit. But I never did the outworking and presence and power. But I always heard this, it says faith without works is dead. Well, theology without experience is like that. If all we do is never outwork it, when someone calls you, which Christian are you going to be? The one that says, yeah, yeah, I'll pray for you. Or the one that says, I'm putting you in the book of miracles at C3 right now. I'm driving down to wherever you're at. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to anoint you. We're going to believe that you're radically healed in the name of Jesus. I want to be a part of that church.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.